This is Degaris, Masochist, MGTOW, Flyers. That is 2-3-page essays on the themes of masculism and MGTOW, written by and read aloud by Prof. Dr. Hugo Degaris. This is flyer number 742, entitled Politicians Learn by Consciousness, Set Up the GEX. That's GECs, or watch your populations die off. Description. To avoid our populations dying off, society needs to be fundamentally restructured so that both sexes become a lot more willing to have babies again. Politicians need to raise the tax rates a lot to pay for a maternity wage, for free education, for a national health insurance, so that the cost of having kids is not crippling. Politicians also need to learn by consciousness, so that the gender laws are men and women fared. There's a lot to do on the political front, say both the feminists and the masculists. Now the flow itself. Politicians learn by consciousness, set up the GECs, GECs, or watch your populations die off. By Prof. Dr. Hugo Degaris. Email profhugodegaris@yahoo.com. Website profhugodegaris.wordpress.com. The greatest of all existential threats to humanity is not a nuclear holocaust, not global warming, but the crash in the birth rate. With the first two, humanity will survive. But with the crash in the birth rate, if it is sustained, then it is a mathematical certainty that humanity gets wiped out, and within only a few generations, if one does the math. This flyer warns, threatens, the politicians. If they don't address the birth rate crash, then they will see their populations die off, and they will be held responsible for that and be punished severely for that. This flyer advises the politicians on what they must do to solve this most existentially threatening of all problems that humanity is currently facing. The advice is based on a mix of three viewpoints, that is, feminist, masculist, and fiscal economic. I begin with the feminist viewpoint. Millions of women find life very difficult when they want to be both careerists and mothers. Societies are not yet set up to facilitate being both, so women compromise, often having only one kid to satisfy their maternal urges, but still crash the birth rate nevertheless. Feminists have talked about the phenomenon of the super mom, who must juggle a full-time career and raise a family at the same time, which, when the kids are small, is doing two jobs simultaneously, which usually leads to burnout by the age of 45. Each woman needs to have 2.1 children on average to replace the previous generation. The country with the lowest birth rate is South Korea, with a figure of 0.7 children per woman, that is a third of the replacement rate. In South Korea's capital, Seoul, the birth rate is 0.6 children per woman. With each generation reproducing only a third of the previous generation, South Korea effectively wipes itself out in a mere four generations. That is, a third of a third of a third of a third is roughly 1%. So in a mere century, that is four generations, South Korea will no longer be with us, leaving some other population free to just walk into the empty buildings that were South Korean. So obviously, one way or another, the birth rate must, in capital letters, be raised to above the replacement rate, or, in capital letters, we wipe ourselves out. This much is obvious. So just how to do that is far less so. Another important factor in the birth rate discussion is the idea that by the age of 30, about a tenth of women have fertility problems, says GPT-5. So to get the fertility rate above 2.1, women need to have their two kids, in brackets, as a civic duty to the survival of humanity, close brackets, before the age of 30. The feminists have been pushing the idea of a maternity wage for decades, arguing that raising children is a job that should be seen as such and paid for. One of the major reasons why so many women have zero or one kid is that raising a kid is so expensive. For example, according to GPT-5 in the US, it costs about $250,000 to raise one child to adulthood and financial independence. Other economically advanced countries have similar figures. Typically, when the mother stops work to raise her small children for some years, the income of the family drops roughly by half, a major economic blow that makes millions of couples balk at taking this plunge. So if countries do not want to see their populations die off, this crushing decrease in income needs to be removed. The obvious solution is to create a maternity wage equal to the income earned by the mother before she had a kid. When you do the math, that is estimating the economic cost, that is the tax burden, it's huge. But humanity has no choice. We pay that tax or we die off. Both the feminists and the masculists want to see the creation of a maternity wage so that family incomes do not drop by half when a couple decides to have a kid, with the mother staying at home to raise them. Many supermoms pay for a nanny to spend time with their small children, but then feel, quote, in female voice, "What is the point of paying someone else, usually with a much lower IQ and social class, to raise my kid? If I'm going to have a kid, I want to be there when it is small and to raise it the way I want, not how some third world peasant, that's the nanny, thinks kids should be raised." Unquote. If the nanny has a caring personality and the child grows up emotionally rich, then the mother is actually paying someone else to raise her child well. That is, the child she brought into the world to raise, but in reality, that is not what she is doing. In reality, she's paying someone else to do that. So what's the point? Question mark. Many young mothers feel torn when she leaves her distraught child at daycare to go to work. Millions of mothers would prefer to stay with their small children when they are very young, rather than go to work, so as not to halve the family income if they stayed at home. So millions of women choose to have zero or one kid for the above reasons, and hence we wipe ourselves out due to the crash in the birth rate. So society must step in. Society must foot the hefty tax bill to pay mothers a maternity wage so that family incomes do not halve when the mother stays home. Masculists also want the maternity wage, since without it, the man, the husband, the father, becomes the sole breadwinner for the family, which puts tremendous financial and existential stress on him. By having a maternity wage, at least money is coming in if he gets fired or injured or sick, etc. In countries such as the US, there's no nationwide health insurance, and tertiary education is not free, the way it is in Nordic countries. So again, both feminists and masculists want national health insurance and free education, so that everyone gets equal opportunities to be healthy and to be educated. But again, all this has to be paid for. So countries like the US, which have much lower socialist mentalities, that is, are far more selfishly individualistic, do not like paying Nordic-level tax rates of over 50%. In brackets, in Finland, it's even closer to 60%. Close brackets. But that is the price countries have to pay to have a maternity wage, free education, and national health insurance. In brackets, by the way, BTW. Even though Finland has the planet's highest tax rate, it is the happiest country. The Nordic countries show that the higher the tax rate, the happier they are, due to their countries, in brackets, according to GPT-5, quote, providing strong welfare states, universal health care, free or heavily subsidized education, generous pensions and unemployment benefits, high public sector investment, which result in a higher quality of life, social mobility, public trust, and happiness indices, end quote. Close brackets. So the US will have to go through a major tax mentality reform if it wants to survive. Since Americans are genetically more individualistic and selfish than in most other countries, who selected themselves in migrating to a foreign land, uprooting themselves from their families, friends, and neighborhoods, they needed to be selfish individualists. And hence today, Americans have no national health insurance and do have crippling educational debts. So in the case of the US, and similarly for many other countries, but not as extremely as in the US, the governmental decision to raise the birth rate will force countries to change their tax rates to be able to pay for the considerable costs involved in removing the obstacles that stop couples from having two kids. That is, the halving of income when the mother stays at home to raise small children, the high cost of education of a kid, the threat of being economically wiped out by illness or injury when there is no national health insurance, etc. Raising the tax rates to overcome the above obstacles will not be enough. Politicians will also need to become familiar with gender politics, both feminist and maskless. That is, they will need to become bi-conscious. The feminists have had a monopoly over gender politics for six decades now, so have had plenty of time to get into politics, to get the gender laws made more favourable to women. For example, especially in the 70s, when the feminists brought in equal pay for equal work, equal access to the professions, fault-free divorce, takeover of the divorce courts, legislated the abortion right, set up gender equality committees in the parliaments, etc. The feminists made major changes to the gender laws once they had moved away from the initial stage of feminism of consciousness raising and got the laws changed. The maskless now need to do the same, that is, move on beyond the male consciousness raising phase and get the gender laws changed to make them more favourable to men, which will benefit the lives of millions, later billions, of men. In the US today, two-thirds of young men don't, in capital letters, even date young women, seeing them as undateable due to being too poisoned by feminism, brackets, according to a Pew Research Center poll taken in 2022. When two-thirds of young men refuse to date young women, something is terribly wrong, and we wipe ourselves out. So the politicians need to really look at this phenomenon and solve it, or we really do, in capital letters, wipe ourselves out. So politicians need to be both, that is, on the one hand, economists, tax experts, and sociologists, and on the other, gender politicians, that is, by conscious, who are as familiar with masculist arguments as feminist arguments, who see clearly that gender oppression is very much a two-way street, that is, that women oppress men too, and in fact far worse, with women's man's slavery, women's divorce rape, women's forced fathering, etc. Today, the divorce rate in many countries is over 50%, in brackets, with women initiating 70% of the divorces. And if the woman has a college degree, 90%, close brackets, in which one father in four gets butchered in the fluffy feminist-controlled divorce courts, ruining his life. A fluffy is a highly pejorative, maskless term for a traditional woman who expects to live off the money and labour of a man, thus manslaving him for decades, and for one father in four, divorce raping him. This divorce rape takes the form of him losing custody of his kids, with a 90% probability in many countries. He will lose his house to his fluffy ex-wife, who raises her kids in it. He'll be forced to make payments to his kids, whom he is barely allowed to see, maybe two weekends a month. He will lose half his wealth and stuff to her. If she's a real fluffy, he may be forced to pay her alimony until he dies, with no moral nor legal obligation on her to get off her fat parasitic ass and fip up, that is, become a fip, that's financially independent person, and stop parasiting off his money, manslaving him for decades. It's not surprising that in many countries now, young men, the large majority of them, brackets, for example, in the US, Europe, Japan, China, etc., are saying publicly, quote,